produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
One of the things we try to do in these special presentations of music is to reach back to our past and touch that which was most tender and cherished to us. As I said last night, so many of our saints, and as God told me to remind the saints of hope, so many of the sweet saints that taught us, and some of them are here who helped raise me, some of them are in heaven, most of them have gone to heaven. I have no living pastors of my, all of the former pastors who raised me. There's an element that are still in the church who don't understand quite where we're going yet. They came out of Egypt in their minds, and they wandered in the wilderness, and they looked forward to Jordan, but they came out of Egypt, but they still got a little Egypt in their thinking. That slavery mentality is there. They know how to endure. They know how to wander in the wilderness and enjoy miracles of endurance, but they've not known miracles of conquest. But they're sweet saints. They're the ones that prayed us through. And so the Lord said, remind them of the hope. Some of them are confused and disoriented. They don't even understand the music. They don't understand a lot of the things that have happened, that have changed, that are not what they are comfortable with. But they love Jesus with all their heart. And he loves them. And I love them too. Their grandparents and great-grandparents and aunts and uncles and mamas and daddies. Some of them are going to some little church they've been going to 40 years and ain't nobody there but them and 40 people. But that's all they know. But they're still the saints. And they still need to be reminded of a little bit of hope. One of those ladies is in heaven now. Her name was Pearl Jones. She was another one of them sweet, mean ones. She always frowned and fussed. In testimony service, she would never really testify. After she got through singing, she'd say, God give me that song when I was first saved. That's all she'd say. God give me that song when I was first saved. But she could sing it under the anointing. It's an old song titled, Shine On Me. You ever heard it? I'm going to ask Bishop Morton to help me with it in a little bit. Sing the verse. He's one of them old-time preachers, too. He got young and old in him. It's Bishop Paul Morton's brother, but this is Bishop James Morton from Atlanta. But the song goes like this. Shine on me. If you know it, come on. Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Sing it. I heard.
I heard the voice.
That's Full Gospel Baptist Church.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, hey.
to me.
Come on, Bishop.
And
is an interesting one, as they all are interesting in their own ways. But Matthew is supposed to be the most Jewish of the Gospels because Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience. However, Matthew, in writing to his Jewish audience, is very well aware of the fact that Christ, yes, he came for the Jews, but there is no mission of Christ without the Gentiles as well. That for Matthew, he includes not just Gentiles, but also women. In the genealogy of Jesus, there are mentioning of women who are key contributors to the ministry and to the lineage of Jesus. Judah and Tamar, so Tamar and Ruth and Bathsheba and Mary and Rahab. All are mentioned there in the genealogy of Jesus. So not only are the women important, but again, there are Gentiles that are important. Because here we have in our text on today some Gentile men who have come from a far country. All we know, Deacon Pearson, is that they have come from the East. We know that they've come from the Far East, and they are traveling men who are looking and paying attention to what is going on in the sky. My brothers and my sisters, it's amazing because Matthew wants us to understand that the people that you don't think would have any kind of dealings with Jesus are the people who are the ones who know him, who pay attention to him, and who worship him. That you will notice that you find in the text that the Bible says that it is these men, Deacon Pearson, these wise men, who bow down and worship Jesus. And in Matthew's gospel, they are the first ones to worship Jesus. That's interesting. That these men who are not reading the scriptures but are paying attention to what's in the sky, and they are the ones who worship him, not the ones who are there who need him the most, because again, it's a Jewish audience. So you would think it would be Jews who would be the first ones to worship him, but no, it's people who are on the outside, which lets me know, my brothers and my sisters, can I just put a pin right there? Lets me know that there are some people here. Let me let y'all know this, is that God is not waiting on you to worship and praise him. What you mean, Reverend? No, the Lord is not waiting on you to lift him up. The Lord is not waiting on you because you've been in church and you are a Christian, that he's waiting on you to do it. No, because he does not need people to worship him. He can go and get rocks and make them cry out to him. He does not need you, but on the inverse, guess what? You need him. You need to lift him up. You need to praise his name. You need to celebrate him for who he is. And I'm not talking to anybody in here this year that can be able to say that I'm not going to let rocks him first. Let me know something too. That true wisdom acknowledges God first. The Bible says the beginning of all wisdom, the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. So hear these wise men. I love it. We learn that they're worshipers, but we learn too that they are paying attention to what's in the sky. Now let me say this. And this may seem controversial, but that's okay. I dip in controversy and don't care because I stand on the truth. Let me say this. Knowing what your sign is not a bad thing. Whether you a Capricorn, Pisces, Aquarius, Virgo, or Aries, whether you are a Sagittarius like me, you a Leo, you a Cancer, don't act like you don't read and understand what your horoscope is. Don't sit up here and act like you ain't never had no. Well, see, I got to talk to the older saints. Y'all used to have folks come over the pickup line. What's your sign? And what's your name? And that's an old pickup line. Now we don't even use pickup lines anymore. They just like, who you? I ain't got to have no game anymore. But let me say this. Reading of the stars is not a bad thing. Knowing your birth chart, knowing how you fall in line with how the stars are situated, it's not a bad thing. Because guess what? It's some truth in that. You read about that stuff, you will see yourself. But guess what? The problem that a whole lot of people do is that they stop right there. And they run their whole lives based on it. But I came to let somebody know that it's not just enough for you to know and read stars and know all that stuff. You got to keep going, because here it is. It doesn't mean anything if you can read and understand stars and you don't understand who the star maker is. Okay, what you trying to say, Reverend? See, my brothers and my sisters, you see, what astrology does and knowing horoscopes and being into all that stuff, you know what it makes me realize? One, that there is a God. And that God is intelligent. And that God is so intelligent, God knew exactly when to put me on earth, what time of day, give me know exactly what time the phase of the moon was going to be. And God is so intelligent, God knew that not just for me, but God knew that for every single body in here. And the beautiful thing is that no one in here is the same. What you trying to say, Reverend? Going into 2024, Pastor's telling you, yeah, know your sign, know what you are, know that is fine. But when you start worshiping that stuff, when you start dictating your life by that stuff and not dictating it by what God has said for your life and what God wants for your life, then you have made a serious error. These wise men teach us, Deacon Pearson, that guess what? Don't just stop there, keep going. Because they didn't just stop at the stars. They took the stars all the way to Jerusalem and said, we've seen the stars. We studied them. We've been watching what these stars have told us. And they have told us that there's going to be a king born this day. There's a king who's born of the Jews. And he's coming on this time. And we only came here because we thought he would be here. Isn't it sad when you expect to be and meet God somewhere and God's not there? They expected to meet God at Jerusalem, but he wasn't at Jerusalem. So what does that tell you when people expect to come to church and expect to meet love and they get it? When people expect to be comforted and instead they are shunned. Are y'all in here this morning? Y'all in here this morning? Oh, Lord. Isn't it sad that when people come to the house of the Lord and they come expecting to get something and instead they are returned with something completely different? And the thing is, people trying to figure out why folk don't want to come to church. Well, they don't want to come to church because they expected to meet God and they met Satan. These folks don't act like God's folk. These folk don't act with love. They don't act with any kind of pure heart. They don't seem welcoming and affirming of me and wanting me to change. Instead, they come with their lips poked out and just want to try and tell me what I need to be doing and how I need to be doing it, but yet they don't even know my name. Hello, somebody. If you can't say amen, say ouch. So these wise men, and the Bible says, they come and they say, look, man, hey, King Herod, you crazy man. They don't understand how crazy he is, but Herod is crazy. By this time, Herod has killed children. There's a saying that says that the pigs are safer than one of Herod's children because he's so paranoid and he wants to hold on to power so much, he wouldn't even kill his own children. Hold on, he's killed his wife. He's killed his children. He just does not care because he wants to hold on to power that much. And the Bible says that these wise men come like, hey, man, we came here looking for the king of the Jews. Can you tell us where he is? Because we want to worship him. And the Bible says that Herod and all of Jerusalem was disturbed. And it's not meaning like all of Jerusalem. What it means is that there are Jewish religious leaders who were disturbed by this because they were, it's funny because they were disturbed because it's their job to know the scripture and to keep Herod abreast because he's not reading the Bible. He wasn't reading, so he was expecting his scribe to let him know that yes, that there's something that's going to come up ahead, that there's a king who's supposed to be born. But the fact is that they got so full of Herod's wine and Herod's money and Herod's food that they had forgotten who their allegiance was to in the first place. Their allegiance is to God. Here they are. Bible says they were disturbed. Why? Because it's not three wise men. Let's let that go. The only reason we say three wise men is because they got three gifts, all right? But it's not really three wise men. It's probably a caravan of men who have come into the city and turned it upside down because nobody was expecting God to show up. Nobody was expecting to have the Messiah come. Nobody was expecting to have Jesus just show up when he did. And don't you know that's the way that the Lord works? Is that the Lord works when you least expect him, that's when he'll show up. When you are out there doing whatever you want to do, that's when he shows up. I ought to have some witnesses in the building who ought to be glad and can celebrate God that the Lord shows up when you least expect it. So, nobody's expecting this. Nobody was counting on this. So, Herod says, you know what? Tell me what does it say in the scripture? Scripture shows them that yes, there's a king of Jews who's supposed to be born. He's supposed to be born and he's going to be in the town of Bethlehem. Everything that they needed was right there in the word. Everything that they were missing was right there in the word. Everything that they needed to know was right there in the word. Can I keep saying that one more time? Everything that needed to know was right there in the word. Everything that they needed to know was right there in the word. Okay, some of y'all still missing it. Everything they needed to know that God wanted them to have and God wanted them to show them was right there in the word. Okay, let me see if I can talk to you. Everything that you need to know that God wants to do for your life is right here in the word. Everything that you want to know that God's going to do for you for this year is right here in the word. What do you mean, Reverend? Because guess what, my brothers and my sisters? Guess what? Life is cyclical, meaning that you will find yourself going through ups and downs throughout the rest of this year. But his word says that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. His word tells you to hold on. His word tells you that the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but to the one who's able to endure unto the end. What are you trying to tell me, Reverend? Tribulation is going to happen. Sickness is going to happen. But be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world. It's in the word. So here's the matter. Herod says, all right, tell y'all what. Y'all tell me where it is. And tell me, when y'all go to where you go, when y'all get to Bethlehem, come back and tell me so that I too may go and worship him. Okay? They should have known something was funny then. Because if you a real worshiper and you really want to worship God, then why didn't you come with me? Okay. Let me see if I can help you out. It's just like folks you got in your house, right? Or people you know in your family, right? Right? You're supposed to have enough Jesus for you and them. You go ahead and go to church. Y'all go to church. And you go and keep doing what you're doing. Go tell Rabbi, say hello. You pray enough for everybody in the family. You got enough salvation for everybody in the family, Muslim. Don't worry about the rest of the folk. I'm going to be all right, but just as soon as they die, take me the gospel to them. I've been a member when? No. Your mama was a member. No. Your wife was a member. No. Your husband was a member. No. Grandmama was a member. But you never came in here. So why is it that you couldn't walk in, but you want to be rolled in? Y'all, 2024 is up for that. This is going to have to be the year where you're going to have to talk to God and have a relationship with God for yourself. My sanctification does not bleed over onto you. Oh, help me somebody in here. My holiness and my relationship with God does not just cover you. Because guess what? What God has for me and what God's going to do for me is for me this year. And I wish that I could take you with me, but I don't think I can just get you on a plus one to heaven. Heaven doesn't work on a plus one situation. It's reservations for one. So Herod, they should know me and someone was up, but and that's the thing I love about these Magi, because when you focus on worship, you're not even thinking about what other folks are trying to do or what their plans are. Your mind is focused on trying to get where you're going. And don't you know, isn't it amazing too how it is that you can just stop and when you focus on worship, isn't that amazing how the devil just knows right when to creep in? Am I the only one? And I'm not just talking about a Sunday morning situation. I'm talking about when you drive in your car, you got the music going, and everything's just going well that day, and you feeling good, you feeling great, you woke up well, and you woke up with that good song on the radio, you did your devotional, you read your scripture, you prayed, and everything just seeming right and well, and then all of a sudden you get in the car, you feeling good, your outfit looking good, you know, you're hitting good, brother, you know, the cologne on, the everything working good, ladies, the hair is laid, you know what I mean? Makeup on point, you know, you're just feeling good, and then all of a sudden, it takes one phone call. One Negro will mess up your home mood. I know I'm not the only one. Because you've spent time with God and you say, I'm going to live this day in worship. And what do you mean, Reverend? I don't mean you just praying and meditating and just chanting. No. What I mean when you're worshiping is that your posture is different. How you you carry yourself is different. Your mindset is different. And how your heart feels and how your soul feels. That's what I mean. You're being a constant worshiper. That you're living your life as a living sacrifice, right? I'm not going to cuss nobody out today. I'm not going to gossip today. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to really live my life as a worshiper. But just as soon as you make that commitment, here come the devil. So this week, I'm going to give you some defense, right? I'm going to give you some defense on how you deal with the Herods in your life, right? This is your defense, that when you roll up and you feeling good and you feeling calm and you see that phone number, all you got to do is say, Lord, before you answer, say, Lord, I'm asking you, handle this. And if not, Lord, give me the patience before I lose my stuff. Lord, just help me because I'm determined to give this day to you and I'm not going to let Satan take it away. And I guarantee you, I've tried it for myself. I guarantee you, the Lord will work it out. I don't know who that was for. That's for somebody this week. That's for you this week. Before you go, have your day good. Everything wonderful. Wow. But just say, today is going to be the Lord's day. Satan, you have no room and no operation room in here today. I'm going to live this life in sacrifice to the Lord. Yeah. That's for you. Now, let's get back to six. So the Bible says, we're almost done. So the Bible says, they leave. They go to Bethlehem. And scholars contest this about this star, right? Because they say this star, if it's right above the house, it should have burnt the house up. Because the star being that close to a house would burn the house down. So scholars tell you, they tell you that it should have burnt, that there shouldn't have been a house when they got there, Deacon Pierce. Because the star should have set it ablaze. Isn't it amazing? Isn't God amazing because the stuff that people thought should have killed you, God kept you? I just want to throw that in for free. Can I say that one more time? The star should have killed them, but God kept them. And my brothers and my sisters, the same goes for you. That somebody in here has that same testimony. That what everybody else said should have taken you out. Everything that everybody else said that should have taken you down. The Lord kept you. And why did the Lord keep you? Why did the Lord keep them? I'm going to tell you why. It's because Jesus was in the house. And what are you trying to say, Reverend? Is that if he's on the inside, then he'll keep whatever's trying to take you out on the outside. And am I talking to anybody in here that can be thankful on today that whatever tried to take me out, I thank God that Jesus was on the inside. And if he's on the inside, he'll keep whatever's trying to take me out on the outside. I thought I'd get a little bit more amens in there. Okay, let me make plain for you. Is that my brothers and my sisters, it's some stuff in your life, some sicknesses, some marriages, some relationships, some mindsets that should not let you be here today. But God saw fit that what they said should have killed you in 1997, what should have had you act that crazy and cuckoo in 2000, what should have kept you numb nuts in 1957, here it is in 2024. God has brought you and kept you. Tell them thank you. See, these men are demonstrators for us. They show us things. They show us, one, how to worship. They come into God's house because this is the house that Jesus lived. And they come to his house. And they don't come empty handed. They come with something in their hand. They come with something on their mouth. And they come with something on their hearts. And then they don't come alone. So, They come with something in their hand. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We'll talk about that in a minute. That's what I'm going to close on. Then they come with something on their mouths. Because the Bible says they bowed down and worshiped him. So they've got something on their mouths. They're showing who he is, that he is the king of the Jews. And if he's king of the Jews, the only king of the Jews that we learn about now is the Messiah, the true king of kings. So they are worshiping him, not just with their gifts, but they're worshiping him with their mouths. And not only are they worshiping him with their mouths, but they have something on their heart. And what do you mean, Reverend, is that they have it on their heart that they are determined to get to Jesus. They are determined to go and see the king. They're not going to let anything or anybody stop them from what they're doing, because they could have easily gotten deterred. They could have easily gotten discouraged when they got to Jerusalem and said, enough is enough. We didn't travel this far. We ain't traveling no more. We ain't going no more further. We're not going any further where we want to go. We're supposed to stop here, but no. They keep going further into Bethlehem. And so that lets me know that they have a determination. They have a want. They have a need to go and worship God. And am I talking to anybody in here that came in here just like those wise men that can say, I'm not going to let anything stop me from getting to see Jesus? That's the reason why you came in here on this first Sunday of the new year, because you wanted to start the year off right. You said, I'm not going to let anything, anybody, any mindset, any sickness set me back, but I'm going to come in here today with my mind ready to worship Christ, because I know if I worship him first, he'll take care of the rest of the year. Is there anybody else's testimony in here that I had to start the year off right? So then, watch this. They don't come alone. Why would anybody want to come to worship by yourself? If you know we're going to see Jesus, it's selfish of me to hold him to myself. Because guess what? I know you need him just like I do. I know you need him just about as much, if not more, than I do. And I ought to have some people in the building on today who say that, Reverend, guess what? Here it is. That you got some folks in your family that, watch this, they all they do is beg you for something. They ask you for something. And here it is. Why don't you just go ahead and ask them, won't you come with me somewhere where I can take you to somebody who got everything you need? I can take you to somebody who will give you what you need. He'll give you water when you're thirsty. He'll give you food when you're hungry. He may even give your irresponsible financial self some money when you're broke. And I've come today to talk to somebody and you say, I cannot worship him by myself. That's the reason why I came in the temple on the day, because I came in here to get with some more folk, because I know that where two or three are gathered, they're touching and agreeing that God will be in the midst. And if he's in the midst, he's going to hand out some blessings. If there's anybody in here that don't mind looking at somebody and saying, brother, sister, let's hook up together, because we need God to do something not just for me, but he needs to do something for you, for your family, for your relatives, for your job, for your marriage. Is there anybody in here that can say, I need God? I'm gone. I'm gone. That's it. I'm going to have communion. The Bible says that the wise man gives 3 gifts. And they give gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold denotes he's the king. Kings receive gold. Frankincense lets you know that he is a deity, because you burn frankincense to represent the spirit of God. We're going to tell people, don't worry about when people burn sage in their house. Why? Because you got to realize something. That my brothers and my sisters, the Lord loves a sweet smell. And what's a sweet smell to him is a sickness smell for the enemy. nothing like that, did you? What you mean, Reverend, is that what smells to him is going to repel the enemy. Oh, what you mean, Reverend, is that my brothers and my sisters, that sometimes in your house, instead of criticizing people for what they did in their house, maybe you need to burn some stuff in your house. Maybe you need to set a new scent in your house. That in 2024, I'm not going to keep having this stench of financial stress. I'm not going to keep having this stench of dealing with past demonic devices. And if you are like that, then you need to burn something too. You need to set a different aroma in your place. Two. So it smells like deity. Third. The myrrh is used usually in burials. So, preacher telling you it's for the burials. So, smoke, what he's going to do is he's going to be buried and eventually he's going to be raised from the dead. But I also like what myrrh symbolizes too, Mr. Frank. Mr. Trapp, I'm sorry. Mr. Trapp, I love what it represents too. So, watch this. Is that myrrh is not just used in burial, but it's also used to take pain away. It blessed me, because I don't know about you. There are some pains that I endured last year. There's some stuff that I took last year, and I took it on by myself because, you know, you taught as a man, just keep on going. Just pain don't hurt. Just keep on moving. You can't bear pain because you're a pastor. You can't bear pain because you're a husband. You got to take it all on yourself. You got to bear everybody else's pain. You got to bear everybody else's responsibility, everybody else's problem. You take on theirs. Don't worry about yours. You'll handle yours. But I've come today to let somebody know that I had to learn at the end of last year that there is a way to get some pain relief. And his name really is Jesus. That if you just spend a little time with him, I'm going to have some people who can be like that Kirk Franklin song, that he'll take the pain away. He may not take it away right then, but eventually he'll take the pain away. And am I talking to anybody in here that knows that the Lord has a way of removing pain from you? Now here it is. Last thing, and I'm gone. This is it. Bible says they gave him three gifts. One, my brothers and my sisters, give to God what you know you owe the Lord.
Amen.
That's the reason why I tell you, come on the first Sunday and give your gifts. Because you owe God at least that. And it's your first fruits. Let him bless your first fruits of the new year. And watch what he does with your finances for the rest of the year. But don't just stop there. Keep on doing it. You do it once, that's good. You'll be blessed. Lord, I have some people in who can say, but if you keep on doing it, that every time you get a first fruits, every time you get blessed, every time you get paid, that every time you get something, that when you bless God, God will continue to take care of you. And not only will he take care of you, but he'll blow your mind. Am I talking to anybody in here that can be a witness and can say that he has a way of blowing your mind? That's giving. All I want you to do, just try it. Then two, your manger scene is wrong. Because these Pearson, they come there and you sing your manger scene. They have like a little box, little piece, right? Because it's these three wise men, they come with their little three-piece offering. I have a problem with that. And the Lord had to help me. Because I'm like, Lord, something does not seem accurate. I don't understand how it could be more than three wise men and they come with these three little boxes. If it's more than three, then I know they brought more than just a little bit. And the Lord helped me. He really did help me. Keep reading the story. You find out that Mary and Joseph have to hightail it from Bethlehem and go to Egypt. Then they got to hide out in Egypt until it's safe to come back to Nazareth. Said, Reverend, how did the Lord help you? Because y'all, if you ever travel with children, when you're traveling somewhere out of town, it costs money.
Yeah.
Say, well, that's kind of modern for you to say. No, it makes sense. What are you trying to say, Reverend? Is that the Lord had shown me this? This is what the Lord showed me. You debate me, that's fine, I don't care. I'm saying what the Lord showed me to help you is that, look what happened. They gave this offering unto God. God took that offering, and that same offering, God now is able to use it to be able to help take care of baby Jesus and keep him while he was on the run. What do you mean, Reverend? Because you don't read anywhere that they had the gold by the time Jesus got it grown. That when Jesus was grown, they were back being poor again. What are you trying to say, Reverend? Is that, my brothers and my sisters, this is the word I want to get you. This is why I tell you, you got to give it to Jesus. Is that if you give unto him, he'll take care of you. That's all I got. That's all I got. That's it. That's all I got to tell you. Is that on this year, if you give it unto him, he'll take care of you. I ought to have more people in the building who ought to hear me when I say this. That here it is. Let me say it one more time, and then maybe you'll get it. Maybe it'll hit you. Maybe you'll get it. Maybe you'll get it on the way home. Watch this. They did not come with a little bit of gold. They didn't come with a little bit of frankincense. They didn't come with a little bit of myrrh. Because they have a caravan of people who are there. And this caravan brought more than enough to be able to help Jesus, his mother, and his father to pay for their trip on the road. And my brothers and my sisters, I'm here today to let you know that if you give it unto God on the day, God will take care of you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.